It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle. Normally along with Tom Claxton, who's still out trying to get healthy with us. But the show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed Seafood Shed. And I hope everybody is prepared for hurricane season. It looks like it's here.
So, yeah.
I figured this thing out. We have a storm going into New Orleans, but we're the ones getting the weather, and it looks like there's nothing around New Orleans area. That's kind of weird, but okay. Because I noticed on the way in, it was not raining so hard, but yeah, the wind was picking up pretty good. So yeah, I just hope everybody has everything tied down and ready to go, and hopefully this is the worst we'll get for either one of them, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, you know what they say about weathermen, like any other job where you're 70% right at the time, you'd be fired.
He's right. I don't know that they're right 70% of the time, to be honest with you. So, yeah, but that would be tough to keep a job where I'm at for if you were right 70% of the time, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But, that's all part of it, so, yeah. But of course, summertime, we're right in the middle of the heat and everything. We're having AC issues with our cars and overheat issues and coolant leaks. And, you know, it's just that time of year. I mean, that's what we get into, you know, because when we don't have storms like this, it's usually 100-plus degrees outside. You know, it's just tough on the vehicles. It really is, you know. Just makes it that much more important to keep up with everything that's going on under the hood of your car, get your car serviced at some place that you trust and get them to make sure they're checking more than just draining the oil and putting new oil and filter on it. You know, make sure they're actually looking around a little bit, checking things, you know, because there's just so much going on under there that can leave you on the side of the road. But if anybody has any questions or comments, please give us a call, 343-0106, or you can send a text to that same number, 343-0106. But that'll get y'all to call in, because we don't have Tom over here running his mouth tonight and, you know, taking up time. But, you know, we've actually been pretty busy out at UJ. This weather's obviously got slowed things down a little bit. People get a little nervous and stay home. You know, we get the rush of people coming in that normally work but couldn't go to work because of the weather. Yeah, that's just typical. We have those every rainy day we have, so that's okay too. It's a good time for them to get their cars serviced and worked on. But, we've got quite a few new vehicles coming in. The transport trucks have been rolling in pretty regular. They've been working us to death trying to get new inventory up and going, which is a good thing. Yeah, we've been a little shy on inventory through all the COVID time period here since, you know, what has it been since March? Yeah, so it's good to have a good problem to have to get a bunch of new cars ready and out on the lot. When the manufacturers shut down, not just GM, but all the manufacturers shut down there for a pretty good while, and it put a kink in the car and the parts inventories and them coming in the flow that we normally get through. So, but that's okay. We've turned a corner and got a good inventory. Parts are rolling in like they should. Every once in a while, we still haven't struggled with that from time to time, but that's always, yeah. So, but we get through it. We get through it. But they're coming out with so many new products and technologies. All the manufacturers are kind of getting away from cars so much, and most everybody's going towards an SUV. They're really.
Why is that?
It's just what's popular right now. You know, now everybody doesn't need or want a Suburban, you know, or Tahoe even. So that's why they have so many different levels of an SUV, and it's all the way down to our Trax, which is our smallest SUV. You know, it's a fairly small vehicle, but it's comfortable. It's nice. It's and it does a decent job. Has the rear hatch and some storage area in the back, and you know, it's not a bad little vehicle.
More family vehicle.
Yeah, you know, I grew up where most people, unless you had a big family, you were looking for a 2-door car or whatever. Now and then, you know, then it went to everybody had to have a 4-door car. You know, for some reason, even the kids wanted a 4-door car, I guess, to get all their friends in.
Yes.
but it, you know, and then everything kind of went towards trucks and SUVs, and it's going to come back around to where we have 2-door cars again and everything else. I mean, it's just the way things work, you know. Whatever's popular now, 10 years from now, it's going to be something different. So, but they're staying on top of it. And then, the technology, for the infotainment systems, yeah, I always try and say entertainment systems, but that's not right. yeah, because you have all your, basically you can shop online from your car with the Wi-Fi systems and all this kind of stuff that's in them. You know, there's apps on the dash where you can, you know, put, it's basically an iPad, you know, when you look at it, it's a big tablet. You can add apps to it. You can do just about anything you want to do. It's just really amazing what you can do and the information you can download or even store on your phone or, a USB drive. Yeah, you can do just about anything with your phone through your car. You know, it's really funny to look around. You know, all of our climate control systems and the updates for the vehicles, I'm drawing a blank on what I'm trying to call it, but it's all the infotainment systems and all that. It's all done through that center console. Yeah. It's really amazing what all can be done there. But let's see, we have a text message. Let's see here. Front U joint on my drive shaft exploded while I was doing 80 mile an hour down I-10. This caused the forward end of my drive shaft to dig into pavement and break the end off. Other than replacing the drive shaft, should I be concerned with the damage to the rear differential gears? It's possible, you know. Anything that stops the motion of the drivetrain that fast can damage other things. I would be as worried about the transfer case as I am anything else. You know, the rear differential, probably not, but, you know, the transfer case, I would be surprised if it hadn't done some kind of damage to it. Unfortunately, without pulling it out and seeing, you know, tearing it down and looking inside, it's really hard to say whether it is. You know, you can move it by hand and listen to it and that kind of stuff, but you may have to put a drive shaft back in it and just try it and see what happens. You know, because that's not good when that happens, for sure, because, well, first off, you've got the whole forward motion and weight of your vehicle that has, you know, dug that drive shaft into the ground and stopped it. But it's is taking that impact and shoved it into the transfer case pretty hard. So anyway, it sounds like we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
I'm proud to say I drive a truck. 18 wheels has always been enough. I'm looking through my windshield when the sun is coming up. I'm proud to say I drive a truck. I don't think that I could sit there in an office every day, knowing out there somewhere there's a white line I can chase. Open road and a radio, my Detroit engine whines. Another load to Texas, gotta move her on down the line.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, normally along with Tom Claxton, but not here tonight. If you have any questions, give me a call or send me a text, 343-0106. One of my friends sent a message reminding me that General Motors is coming out with another electric vehicle, all electric. Chevrolet already has the Bolt, which is a full electric vehicle. The Volt, which was a hybrid, is kind of going to the wayside, but the Bolt is an all new and pretty neat little vehicle. It's got a really good range. If you have the high speed charger, it charges pretty quick. It takes a little getting used to. I mean, I get in them on the service aisle, and if you don't realize what you've gotten into, like some of our hybrid stuff, you push the start button, it's like, why? And this ain't cranking up. And then you look around and realize that you're in a hybrid, and so the motor's not going to make any noise. You just have to put it in gear and go. Yeah. Takes a little getting used to, but once you do, it's fine. But General Motors is coming out with a version of the Hummer, which is going to be an all-electric vehicle. I'm sure it's probably not going to be quite the size of the original Hummer, but
diesel, huh?
Yeah. Well, this one's going to be all electric, but and that's one thing that was odd. The civilian version of the Hummer, they never sold it with a diesel in it. Biggest vehicle GM sold, and it. You couldn't put a diesel in under the hood. Didn't fit. So, if it was a military version, that's what they came with, was a diesel. And but it was a little bit larger vehicle and a little bit different. Setup where the
not street legal.
Yeah, it wasn't. No, well, it was street legal, but it didn't have all the creature comforts and all the other stuff that the people that drive them every day. You're going to demand, so, but, they were a neat vehicle. They really were. The civilian, Hummers were basically an Avalanche, all wheel drive Avalanche type chassis, with a big square body on it. Yeah. But, the nice thing about having a vehicle that large is you have plenty of places to put batteries. Stop my phone here. But there's plenty of places to put batteries and that's the big thing is having the capacity to put a lot of the circuitry, the motors, the batteries and all that stuff in there and then to be able to tote that weight around. They're really advancing the battery technology so fast now that I can see us being at least half of our fleet all electric in the next 10 years anyway. I think they've set a goal for way sooner than that. But and they may be able to do that, but their stumbling block is going to be convincing everybody that that's what they need to be driving is an electric vehicle. But honestly, we really don't have hardly any trouble out of our electric vehicles. That's one thing that they have put a lot of effort into and technology into and money into to be sure that it was done right the first time around. So they've been pretty trouble free so far. So which is
notice Best Buy has charging stations.
Yeah, they're and I'm not sure which charging stations they are. Some of the vehicles are kind of a proprietary charger station. Tesla's kind of they're a little strange about who they let charge on theirs. Whereas General Motors is launched a program to put charging stations everywhere, basically. And theirs will be able to charge anybody's, including a Tesla.
Very general.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, they're pushing that everybody needs to be in a electric vehicle. So the way you make that happen is you got to make it to where they can recharge them. So, yeah. So if you're limiting who can hook to, you know, even if it's another brand, you know, eventually it's just like people that, I mean, I know this is sacrilegious, you know, someone that bought a Ford may buy a Chevrolet. I know that it's never supposed to happen, but it does, you know. People do swap back and forth with brands once in a while.
Yes.
Yeah. I know this, a lot of people don't like to talk about that, and it's a little touchy, you know, yeah, but, you know, it does happen, and, you know, but if you get everybody on board, you know, and doing it, then you have just a bigger, you know, customer base to work with, yeah. So it's coming, it really is. I was watching some of the hearings and all that and what they're talking about on updating the fleet for the Postal Service, and you know they're showing these big new, you know, boxy looking postal, you know, vehicles, and I'm sitting there wondering is like, why are they not using electric technology in those vehicles? It's going to cut down on the maintenance, it's going to cut down on fuel costs. Yeah, you have room for solar panels to help you recharge them and help the distance they can go during the day. It, you know, those vehicles, they don't have a whole lot of electrical accessories on them, so that they don't have the air conditioning and all that kind of stuff that you know the general public, you know, has to have on theirs. You know, I say have to, but you know in the South you have to. Yeah. Down here, a car without air conditioning, you might as well go ahead and crush it and be done with it, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, it's, you know, it just makes sense. I don't get it. I don't understand why they haven't gone there. And, you know, it's just like our city buses, you know. Can't tell me they can't do it because they're doing transport trucks that are all electric, doing the same exact thing, going down the highway. You know, all electric. I mean, it's not
unheard of.
Well, you know, they it's not mainstream yet, but it's coming.
It's not impractical either.
No, but they're doing it. I mean, it's they're built. They're out there. They're on the road. It's just not like I say. It hasn't gone mainstream yet. I mean, there's you know, it's kind of like whenever. They started putting automatic shift in these big trucks and these old gear jammers, boy, they absolutely dead set against using an automatic transmission in my truck. That ain't gonna work, you know. Well, it
took off.
It was kind of funny because, you know, as soon as the fleet managers and owners realized that they got better fuel economy. The transmissions and rear ends and motors and all held up better and started making them use them, then the drivers realized that you know, hey, I've actually got an extra hand here that I can, you know, drink a cup of coffee with or do something over here other than have to constantly reach over here and change gears on the shifter, you know. And it's really, and the technology on them is really, all it is like an automatic shifter on top of a regular transmission. So it's not, you know, it's not like they put an automatic transmission in it. It's just a electronic way to change the gears without you having to do anything. So, I mean, it's blipping the throttle and all this. You're not having to touch the clutch, any of that kind of stuff. It still has a clutch in it, just like you normally would to take off. But then once you take off, you just kind of ignore that pedal, and computer does the rest of it from there. And one of the ways they got the guys on board to do it is you don't get max torque out of one of those vehicles until you put it in cruise control, running down the highway. Then it will give it max torque, and it will actually give you the extra power to climb hills, do all this kind of stuff, and it takes care of everything. So it's really a neat technology and does well. It's fairly simple, but yeah, they find ways to make you use them. they'll find a way. Yeah, it works. It's a good technology. Really trouble free. Yeah, the people that I know in the industry, they've really embraced it, and it's been pretty neat. You know, so sometimes it's not so much about whether they can build it; it's whether they can sell it. Yeah. You know, so they have to get everybody on board and comfortable with the concept and get it going, and then everybody's like, "Wow, that's just cool." Yeah, so sounds like we come up to our mid-break. We're going to let everybody hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day when the Ford and the Mercury went out to play. Well, this is the inside story, and I'm here to say it was a kid that was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor, and it's really souped up, and that Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 12 cylinders, uses them all with an overdrive that just won't stall. Got a four-barrel carb and dual exhaust, 411 gears, so can really get lost. Got safety tubes, and I'm not scared. The brakes are good, and the tires are fair.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, you heard the story of the hot rod race that fatal day.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle, normally along with Tom Claxton, but who is still on demand. But if you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But I actually went back and picked up our 29 Chevrolet. It belongs to our owner, and has been around UJ Chevrolet for God only knows how long. It was one of the first vehicles they had taken in on trade way back in the day. But we're in the middle of doing some restoration work on it. Picked it up and picked it up from getting the interior and top and all that put back on. It looks pretty good. It looks really nice. I was really impressed. It's always neat messing with old stuff like that. I just enjoy doing it.
You know, 9 years short of 100.
Oh, yeah. But let's see. We got a text message here from Michelle. Let's see. How often do you change the serpentine belt in your car? There is a maintenance schedule, of course, that you follow. They have gotten to the point to where about every 150 or 100 to 150,000 miles now, it's really, I mean, back when we had the V-belts, if you got 30, 35,000 miles out of a set of belts, you were actually doing pretty good. But they have come so far with the technology on rubber and all this kind of stuff, and the way they manufacture the belts and everything, you just don't see them fail like you used to. If you have a belt fail now, it's normally something else has failed, either a compressor or water pump or a tensioner or idler or something like that. has locked up and damaged the belt, or gotten out of line for some reason and kicked the belt off. But I mean, I've seen, I don't know how many vehicles I've seen that still had the original belt on at 200,000 miles, and the belt still looked good. Yeah. That's not saying that I would recommend you to go that far with it, but, so that's, you know, it is a maintenance item that you definitely need to look at, along with a lot of other things, you know.
The belt snap on my old Toyota.
Yeah, it'll do it. You know, and now the timing belt and all that, if you have a car with a timing belt, there's still a time period that you need to have that done by.
Yeah.
We don't have many timing belts. We have a few. Some of our little diesel motors are timing belts. I'm trying to think if we even have, up until a year or two ago, we still had one car that had a timing belt, but I think it's gone to a different motor now. So I think it's all chain driven. So they're kind of going away. It was just a cheaper way to do the same thing, but with the variable timing and all that stuff that we have now, most of them have gotten away from the timing belt and gone to a chain. Some of them do the variable valve timing inside the motor versus on the gear and all that, but you know, it's just different technology for different motors. But either one works well, does a good job, so yeah, I can't really complain about any of it. The timing belts have been around for long time. Back in the mid 70s, some of them back as far as, you know, in the late 60s, depending on which motors we're talking about. So the belt technology been around a while. It's all good. It's all work. It all works. All works well. The cars nowadays, it's incredibly important to keep your maintenance done properly. We get cars every day that have something with either a cam actuator solenoid, which is part of our variable valve timing stuff, or an oil consumption issue, or there's just multiple things that can be brought on by lack of maintenance. And you have to tell the customers, if you'd have done it by the maintenance, you probably wouldn't be having these problems, And that's why I'm here. That's why we talk about it all the time. I know you probably get tired of hearing me talk about, it's time to do maintenance on the vehicle. But it's, once you have not done it, there's no going back and just start doing it again and clean it all out, because it doesn't work that way. Once it's gummed up, it's gummed up. You can't fix that, not without a complete overhaul or replacement of the motor. And that's just, oil changes are cheap when it comes to that, my vehicle, the Equinox my wife drives, every 3,000 miles, it's in there getting oil changed. It's going to do it. I'm religious about it. It's going to get its oil changed. Even though I may not keep that vehicle more than 40 or 50,000 miles, whoever gets it is going to get one that's clean, I guarantee you. I just don't believe in killing one if you don't have to. What's the point? It really all needs to be done. They've actually gotten to the point with maintenance on our vehicles to where the general maintenance you have to do is not that much. So, there's really no excuse not to do the oil changes. We're not changing.
Never was.
We're not doing coolant flushes every 30,000 miles. We're not doing spark plugs every, 30,000 was a big service, years ago, and not that many years ago, where you were doing, plugs and all the filters and coolant service and belts and hoses at times and this kind of stuff. It's just not necessary. I mean, most of those things are good for at least 100,000 miles, if not more. Transmissions, you know, we use service transmission at least every 30. Now, if it's a normal operating conditions where you're not pulling anything or sitting in hot, heavy traffic all the time, they're good for 100,000 plus on the transmission service. If it's something that you're towing with or whatever, then you probably still need to change it about every 50. They've cut out so much of the maintenance that, you know, what you do have to do, you know, it didn't make sense to skip it.
Yeah.
Because, I felt for a lot of people over the years where, you know, some of these maintenances, you know, at 30,000 miles, that car's not very old. And I know people that put that on in a year. And that was a pretty major service that you were having to spend money on. But we just don't have that much anymore. Yeah. Sometimes it does amaze me how many miles people can put on a car in a year. I have one that was less than a year old that had like 150,000 miles on it the other day. It was like, how do you find time to put that much miles on one? It's got to be running 24/7. I guess it can be done because I've seen it. Normally when you talk about that kind of mileage, you're talking about a big truck that's hauling cross country all the time. Yeah. But
some people will travel a lot for business.
Well, and it's probably a traveling salesman or a hotshot delivery person, something along those lines, that every time they crank it up, they're going cross country to deliver something, pick something up, do whatever, you know. Because there's a lot of people that do that kind of delivery, you know, with our trucks. They're usually hooked to a trailer and pulling something, you know, but they're geared up and they go, you know. I see them all the time. Got, you know, 300,000 or 400,000 miles on them. They're just trucking on down the road, no problems, you know.
Cars are going the opposite of everything else, are built to last while everything else is being built to replace.
Everything else is throwaway. Yeah. I get these all the time. You know, of course, with storms coming, I drug generators out and all this and went and helped a couple friends get theirs up and going. And, you know, it's, you know, like everybody else, the generators sit there until it's time to need them. And the carburetors get gummed up, the fuel systems get gummed up on them. So they don't want to run, so you got to clean all that out. But, a lot of these, little things like the weed eaters and blowers and all this kind of stuff, they're throwaway. Once you let it get gummed up, you throw it away. Because sometimes you can buy a carburetor, but heck, some of these things to put, like a lot of weed eaters, if you want to put the pull cord on it, you got to start at the other end, take it all the way apart, including pulling the crankshaft out of it before you get to the pull cord. It's just like, no, I don't think so. that's entirely too much work for this little $100 piece of equipment that I have no intention of doing anything like that on. Yeah, it's easier to throw it away and start over. TVs, that kind of stuff. That's, they're all going the same way. You know, if you have a TV that's quit working and it's out of warranty, you know, they won't even let, you know, most repair shops won't even let you leave it unless you leave them, you know, $100 or whatever, just to, you know, go in and give you an estimate on it, because, you know, they know as soon as they spend time on it, and it's not worth fixing. You know? So they're going to spend their time. You're going to say no and go buy one somewhere else, you know, and just leave it with them. Yeah. Yep. So,
Stuck with the TV.
Then they get stuck with the TV that's not worth fixing. So, you know, it's, just the way things have changed, you know, it's just kind of the way it is, you know, luckily cars are worth a little more and,
time and effort.
You know, people are going to get their cars, you know, working, fixed and moving on. Not that we've never had that happen, but, yes, you know, we try and,
dropping the junk off.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we try and advise people as they come in is like, you know, from what you're telling me what's wrong with it, it could very easily exceed the value of the vehicle. So yeah. Do you really want to go here? Yeah. Right. Before we do this, because you're going to owe us regardless, you know. So, yeah, and at times we'll, you know, if it's a sentimental thing to the customer that, you know, this is the car my dad gave me and all this, okay, I'm on board. We'll work with it. But, you know, you're going to need to leave a deposit because it's sentimental to you, not me. Yeah, so, yeah. But anyway, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Pittsburgh are rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's a-running like I never before. There's a speed zone ahead with all right. I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got me 10 forward gears on a Georgia overdrive. I'm taking little white pills and my eyes are open wide. I just passed a Jimmy in a white. I've been a-passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton normally. That just kind of rolls out without thinking about it. But it's, he's not here tonight, but hopefully we'll have him back here shortly. But anyway, we do have a caller online. Kenneth, you with us?
Yes, huh?
Hey, what can we do for you tonight?
Hey, I got a 2008 Toyota Tundra pickup, and I had a problem over the last, I guess, 8 or 9 months with a cruise control on it. I had it the module on the steering column replaced about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
But it's starting to get back doing the same thing. Sometimes it'll come on, sometimes it'll... You really have to mess with it a lot. You know, keep pushing the button, and other times you crank it up, and it'll work. Is there something else besides that module on that column that could cause that, or is that control that completely?
It's not the complete control of it. You know, that's more of a signal going down to the body control / engine control modules. That you know, that's sending a signal out for your motor to, you know, to operate at a certain RPM. You know, on a vehicle that has a, you know, electronic throttle, which yours does, the cruise control, there's really not a whole lot to it other than one of the main things is the brake switch has to work properly. Some vehicles, not sure on the Toyotas, I know on some of the GMs, the third brake light has to work right. Why they tied that to it, I really don't know, other than the fact that no one ever looks at the third brake light. So if they make something quit working when they quit, then, you know, it makes you go looking. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only answer I can give on that, but they've done that for... quite a few.
Looking at the what now? The brake what?
The third brake light, the one on the center of your cab up there on the top. Called the center high mount brake light. Yeah. But it's the third brake light. It's the one mounted up top. Get someone to check and make sure that that's working. Make sure your brake lights are working properly. Because the brake switch is an input to it. Now, your brake switch can still be the problem because sometimes they actually use two circuits in your brake switch, one for lights, one for cruise control. So they may have to hook to it and watch that signal to make sure that's working properly. With that being said, also, on your steering wheel where you have the buttons and all that, it still has to make contact down through the steering column as the wheel turns. So it has what they call a clock spring, which is basically a coiled up ribbon in the top of the column that lets you have a hardwired connection going through there, but still be able to turn your wheel without breaking that wire. You can have problems inside that clock spring with any one of the circuits that go through it. So really, you know, you just have to get it checked and see what's going on. But, you know, a couple of the quick things that you can check would be to make sure your third brake light works properly, make sure the brake lights themselves come on and off like they should, that it's not too sensitive on the brake pedal. I mean, if you just kind of breathe on the brake pedal and your brake lights come on, it's out of adjustment. And may need to be adjusted, because just vibration on the vehicle, if it's that sensitive and that close adjusted, it can get it to kick out or not come on at times. You know, and even going down the road, if you just put your foot under the brake pedal and kind of hold up on it just a little bit and try it and see if that makes a change. Sometimes that'll be an indication that the brake switch is either bad or out of adjustment.
Okay.
All
right, I sure appreciate it. Hey, I was going to mention, too, y'all were talking about those trucks, the automatic. I'm a truck driver myself.
Yeah.
I'm headed to Birmingham right now. But,
boy,
our fleet went to these automatic transmissions.
Uh-huh.
It stops a lot of maintenance on that left leg, too, there, them hips and knees and them ankles from hurting so bad.
Oh,
I'll tell you that. Made a major difference in my life not having to do that. I was one of those that was dead set against it until I rode in one of these about 5 months, and I quit having to take so much pain medicine for my hip, and I got home in the morning. So,
it's
made a big difference, I'll tell you that.
Well, you know, and you don't think about those things, but, you know, it's just a normal, you know, repetition that you do that many times, and, you know, it takes a toll on you. It really does.
Yeah. It does.
But
right, bud. Well, I appreciate it, and we sure appreciate y'all's show. I listen to y'all every Wednesday night heading out of town here, so, or Monday night, I'm sorry.
All right.
But anyway, thank you.
I appreciate you listening. Thanks
all
for calling in.
Bye-bye.
But, yeah, that's, you know, and the story that he gives is one that I've heard I don't know how many times, as far as the, you know, that automatic transmission in the truck. You know, it's people are like, wow, this is kind of cool. I like
difference.
It works. and it's, I don't know, just like anything else, you just got to get used to it. Yeah, it's something different. None of us really like the change, but it is good. Yeah, change is good sometimes. Yeah, but changing so much stuff right now with the technology, and I know I kind of harp on this from time to time, but I've been doing this for 30 40 years now. But about 38 years, and the changes that I have seen over the years, you know, it changed a little bit here, a little bit there, you know, but the technology was pretty much all the same. But I'm telling you, over the last 10 years, the technology has really ramped up. It's really, a lot of it's kind of neat, and it's kind of scary, you know, for an old guy like myself, you know, trying to keep up with. But you got to stay on top of it. You really do. I mean, that's why I stay in classes and do, you know, the studying that I do to keep up with. You can't just wing it like you used to could. You know, somebody with a little bit of ability could just kind of go with the flow and figure it out as it went along. And it's, you can't hardly do that anymore.
Nope.
Yeah. I've never been the big fan of calling the helpline and all this kind of stuff. But
now you have to.
You have to. because they don't share all of the information with you that they really should sometimes, you know. Or they sit on it for a little while to gather more, you know, before they put it out, you know, in a bulletin or whatever.
Beta testing.
Yeah, you know, they're just going to find out, you know, how many people are having this problem, and you know, okay, we gave them a fix, but let's get a little time under our belts and let's make sure that fix really did it, you know, and it's a permanent thing.
Patch.
And make sure it wasn't a short-term patch, you know. But it's, you know, with our brake systems where, you know, we don't have vacuum assist brakes anymore on our trucks. They're all electric assist through the anti-locks, and the master cylinders are doing way more than just being a master cylinder that we're used to. You know, so it's rapid changes as we come. But I know we're getting close to the end of our show tonight. I just want to tell everybody thank you for listening in. I appreciate all of our callers and listeners. And all of our first responders. I want to thank them, of course. We wouldn't be able to do what we do without them, for sure. But I want to thank everybody for listening, and we will be back with the Car Doctor Show next week.
Awesome.
On my knees, hauled marbles and rocks, and thought twice before I hauled a Barbie doll bed for the girl next door. She tried to pay me with a kiss, and I began to understand there's something women like about a pickup man.